welcome to the Roarcast. My name's James Price, here to take you through the Odyssey that is supporting the Brisbane Roar Football Club one last time. That is right, this is the end, my friends. For one last time, it is the final Roarcast. It's the final Roarcast. It's Benjamin and Clark.
One last time.
How are you, good sir?
I said, are we doing a musical introduction?
No, it wasn't to you.
It's a medley.
How are you, good sir? Have you been enjoying the...
I love the music.
Love the, you know... it's a pleasure that the show has come to the end. Because that means I don't have to watch any more of the Brisbane Roar.
Excellent. But the women's series should be good. And we've got a whole crew here, just like the same as all the surrender shows. Mr. Danny Butts, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
don't sound it.
Yeah, he's so happy to be here. He's our generous, gracious host today. So we are on the Buttsy pad today. So
I was going to say, it's the Roarcast finishing 10 seasons in, unlike the actual Brisbane Roar, who were happy to finish 11th. We decided to put it in early.
Mr. Rick Evans, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing alright, you know, final go at this. I was actually thinking more of Daft Punk's One More Time, but...
last time, we're going to record the Roarcast.
That has the words, we're going to celebrate, and I don't want to celebrate this season at all.
We're certainly not celebrating this season. The man that is the photocopier, born out of the love child of a photocopier company and a marketing gimmick from Melbourne City, Yoshipa. How are you?
I'm just...
Oh, shit. Paper's jammed. Paper's jammed. The last episode became so close.
He's out of warranty as well.
No, it's okay.
We didn't extend the warranty. I told you to extend the warranty.
Right, we only have one more show. What's the point?
It's okay. This copier can actually consume its own paper that gets stuck in, so it's okay. Hey, listeners. How are you? Photocopier, I really will like to... Yeah, I need to be basically... probably rolled off a cliff because this photocopier is not working too well with footballers.
10-year-old, isn't
it? It's cheaper to replace you than fix you.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
We're going to roll you out to pasture, just like this show. And the man that keeps this show all running, dealing with glue for everything, Mr. Davey Stewart!
Yeah, good. Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, let's talk some football, mate. Let's, for one last time, let's talk some football.
Let's talk some shit.
Let's talk some shit about a football club that did not go well this year. All right, this is the end. So it was the A-League men's. They finished in 11th position, and they were destined from pretty early on to be right down the bottom ladder. And just every time you thought there was a light, it was there pretty quickly. But they played 26 games in the A-League in the end, won 7, draw 5, lost 14, 29 goals for a match is nowhere near enough. So that's just barely above one per game. And 39 conceded from that is maybe not too bad, but 26 points on the board. Is there anything like you just want to sum up about the season? Like, I don't know what else. I mean, obviously we've had all the player reviews, so we probably don't need to get into individual players. So.
No, but I did want to
cultures, feels, coaching.
I wanted to start by just saying, you know, I was willing to give Warren Moon a chance. I think we've given him a chance. He has not done the job that, you know, was expected, even with this NPL level squad. I think he should go. I think, obviously, the Bakary should go. We should say that one last time. And I think that moving forward, you know, you can't help but think with the season, with the news that we've already had, that it's just going to be more of the same into the future. And, you know, that's probably reflected in us, a bit of a malaise amongst the pod doers. That we're not really as interested as we were, and you know, not in going, not in watching, not in, you know, being involved. Like, it just the club's got a culture around it now that is just pretty fucking shit, and it's not something that is attractive to people. It's not something where you're like, oh, I'm gonna bring a friend, I'm gonna bring my family. You know, it's just like a slog, and we've all slogged it out for a decade. And I think that largely as it once was, as we all were enthusiastic participants. I think that time is over for just about all of us.
That's the end of the pod. So thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming nicely, actually.
This is our shortest podcast ever.
Look, it was our most requested feature was getting back a shortcast, and here we are. Thanks. Yeah, we're out. Look, you're absolutely right. Like, the move to Redcliffe has just killed anything about this football club, and I know it was done for monetary reasons, and in many ways, it's probably a blessing with the limited crowds during COVID and all that sort of things that they would have lost even more money at Suncorp, although they probably could have got the government to bail them out a bit. But yeah, that's been an interest killer. And then the form on the field. We're a team that plays in Redcliffe and trains on the fucking Gold Coast. It's 2 hours drive apart. Like, what the fuck? Seriously. Yeah. It's pretty fucking weird.
And even on the field, like this season, we took the approach, Ben mentioned the NPL level players, but like our approach was really sign a bunch of young players, see what sticks, maybe half a dozen of them will, and we'll turn that into something amazing. And that has just fallen on its face. We just went through all the players, like, short of like Zabala and maybe Henry Hoare and Vanovic, who we already sort of knew who was good. He's got a few years on the other guys. Like, we haven't really turned the 10 or 12 young signings that we have at this club into a proper squad. We're still pretty
dodgy. Well, we've given Eli Adams and Parsons over to other clubs to have the best years of.
Yeah. So the whole experiment was a flop, and I think that kind of just sums up the on-field display this season. And it just didn't work. We went in with a plan. That's great. Plan failed.
Yeah. I think I know most of us are not probably either not going to have a membership next season, or I'm probably looking maybe a women's or if the rumour is true that we do move back to Suncorp for some games, maybe if there's a Suncorp membership or something.
I got to tell you, like, all that side of things, like, I haven't been involved as long as you guys, haven't been a member as long as you guys, but just this season has been the first year where just everything was a hassle. It was a hassle to get to Redcliffe. It was a hassle to, like, decide to get a membership because we didn't even know where we were playing or when. It was a hassle once I bought my membership to actually get the physical cards and things. I didn't get it for like 3 months into the season. We already played half our games,
yeah.
You know, and they were doing Raw TV, which I guess that just fizzled. They were doing Paramount subscriptions. That was a pain in the ass to get separate. The communication, like I said, around where we're playing, players that were signing, stuff throughout the season. Like, they had that big members come and hang with the players event. Like, they were only sprucing that a few days before the fucking game. Like, just everything that you need the club to do so that you can grab onto it and go, I want to support this club. They just fucking killed it.
Don't forget
it.
For our friend John T, not knowing if a shuttle bus will even be going here, there, or anywhere.
I think he learned that they'd just assume it wasn't on because it never was in the end.
Just to reflect on the fact that they brought back the meet some of the players after the game, that used to be a staple. That was a weekly. That was part of the match day. If you're a member, you were in there, you were with the players, you were with the staff, you were mingling, and that was part of the connection to the club for like a big part of the fan base. Because, you know, it wasn't just, people would cycle in and out depending on the day, but, you know, you felt connected to the club, felt connected deeply to the players and the staff, and then it was all just thrown in the bin.
That's it. Yeah, I remember those. You know, that was when I started coming. Yeah, you could go up to that room afterwards, but the players, it took ages to get up there because, you know, they've got to go through their proper warm down and, you know, have a shower and get up there. That's fine, and then it's a chance to make more money because you're selling drinks at the, you know, in that bar. Anyway,
just anything. Like, yeah, that's a great initiative. I never saw any of that myself, but that's cool. Like,
yeah,
but you just want anything, right? You just, I just want to feel like I'm part of this club, and this year, more than ever before, I just never felt part of it. And I'm going to pay, I got a membership. Didn't go to any games, still bought my membership.
Yeah.
Like, just don't feel part of this club at all. And don't know how to get excited for next season. We don't look like we're getting any exciting news. I don't agree with the squad. I don't know what to get excited for.
And part of that is that we've disconnected ourselves from the city that is in our name.
Mm-hmm.
As Bryce has said, we're playing Redcliffe. We train on the Gold Coast. Half the squad lives on the Gold Coast.
A bunch of them live in northern New South Wales. There's a northern New South Wales crew.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're literally living in another state.
Yeah. Like, it is not. Like, it's not just us, you know, disconnecting from the Raw. It's a whole bunch of other people that are, like, diehards. I mean, we fucking have a podcast about it.
Like, this is how we're ending the podcast, is like, we don't care at all.
This is how, you know, we're the diehards. and we are just sinking out. So,
yeah.
And just to wrap that, like, all of that, I get it. There's reasons for every single piece. If you deconstruct that and you come up with an excuse why we're playing New Origin, why they don't do this, why they do that, okay. But the problem is that combined, it just creates a pretty poor environment and culture. And I think that's the problem. It's not... It's the sum of the parts coming together that's the problem.
Yeah, and that's been... I think it's league-wide, and we are very much a sign.
Just imagine as a business that you're going to where it's like, oh, they've got this one little negative about it. But it's like, oh, maybe it's a food place where it's like, oh... Just sometimes they maybe don't get the orders right on time and that sort of thing. But imagine a place that's consistently getting your order wrong or not telling you what this is. Oh, what's on your menu? Oh, don't know. Oh, sorry. You're not going to collect it from here. You're going to have to go somewhere else. Yeah. Imagine a business that just was then doing all these different things, just leave them hot. And yeah, they'd fail. And look, it's very sad that, honestly, the diehards now... There's about maybe 2,000 fans that are diehards that will still keep coming, but this club is easily between the 2,000 average crowd, 4,000, 5,000 highest. That's where it is sitting.
I see it.
That's it. That's pretty much it. And you know, we have very small backroom staff, and that always shows. Like, it's been run on a shoestring, and you know, there are some NPL setups that I think have a better setup behind the scenes.
I certainly feel like we're a poor man's Central Coast these days. We are a feeder club.
I look at Central Coast and I think, wow, you've got some stuff happening
and
there.
And Central Coast have a backroom staff that is excellent. They are constantly community engaging. Like, they are the small group that they have, the small population they have, they're constantly engaging with that community. They've been shit for ages, but they still had a core of like 4,000 showing up, you know, even at their very, very worst, in the middle of like seasons of losing, because they were part of the community. We are not. We're nothing. We're in no
problem. You could say, okay, Brisbane's got a lot more competition, but the fact is the Brisbane aren't trying to engage either.
No.
There's no effort to engage.
No.
And so he's like, well, if you're not going to put your hand out and say, hey, come over here, why would I go over there? What's the purpose?
There was a stage where the Raw were very... comfortably, I would say, the third most supported team in the city, behind Broncos and Lions, who have obviously so much history behind them. We're now behind the Reds, we're now behind the Bullets, we're now behind the Firebirds. We are, and arguably we're like on par with the fucking Bandits, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's where we are. That's where we've sunk to.
I'd say we're behind the Bandits purely on the basis that we get about the same sort of crowds and we're based in Redcliffe.
Yeah, correct.
The Bandits didn't have much of a season to... I think we might just be ahead of them because at least we had a proper season, but
When they're back and running, though, that's the part we're on. And
there's a new ice hockey league, that's going well as well, actually. We might be behind them.
Yeah, but just looking at where it's come from, a decade ago, where were we? We just won our fucking second...
Yeah, we still... during this 10-year span of this show, we've actually won a championship in that time.
Yeah.
We've had a season or shows where we've been celebrating a championship win.
Yeah.
And now we're here.
And now we're where we are. Yeah. And that, more than anything, should just tell you, like, why this is the end for us and why, you know, if it doesn't pick up its act, the club and the league might be following.
We've all said this before, but if another Brisbane team comes in, this club is going to have to fucking...
It's toast.
It's going to be on permanent...
Well, Bill will be there first.
It's going to be in the ICU, put it that way, this football club, because people will move.
That's for sure.
I will still stay loyal Brisbane Roar. Except for the fact that there's some...
You just said loyal Brisbane Roar until about this time next month. Yeah,
until I...
until the end of the show.
And then you'll be screaming for our blood. All right. Anything more you want to say about the A-League men's season?
My highlight of the A-League men's season was actually the stop-offs at Margate Hot Pies on the way to the ground. That's my favourite memory of the season.
My memory of the season was losing my season membership to a stand that stayed there for 3 games unnecessarily. At least it was good coverage from the
league. No, guys, my favourite part of the A-League season was the Raw cast.
Oh,
shut up.
That's interesting. No one's saying anything else.
Honestly... My favourite memory of the season was the one game that I went to where we beat Sydney last game that I'll probably ever attend, and we got to fuck Sydney one last time.
Yeah, did I?
I got to attend it with you two fucking lunatics.
Yeah. Is it sad that my favourite moment of this season was actually the game where we were celebrating a 10-year-old child losing a paper plane over a stand? That's my favourite moment, just the fact
that... Yeah. What about Kill the Penguin?
Kill the Penguin.
Oh, yeah, that bit.
Penguin.
But look, can we at least maybe move on and talk about a team that... I still have some passion for them. I mean, if the men's team followed, I feel pretty confident a women's team would still stay around.
I think there'll always be a women's team based up here. It'd be taken over by Football Queensland or something like that. Yeah. There's too much talent. Look, the A-League, if the A-League's going to exist, there'll be a team in Queensland, unless they're idiots. Like, Brisbane will fall over and all that. It'll be propped up like Newcastle has been for the last 2 years. Like, there's too much shit. Too much for market to lose it, that's for sure. The women's team was a bit more successful this season, coming in sixth. Played 14, won 5, drawn 2, lost 7, 29 goals for, so stand to score the same number of goals as the men's team.
Yeah, well, played almost half the games.
Yeah, almost half the games.
Or just more than half.
30 against, and to be fair, like 9 of them came in one game, so 17 points on the board. 8, 9, whatever it was, 7, 8, 9, I can't remember. I've blanked that one from their memory. The women's team, I mean, we sort of, I think, wrapped up on the women's team.
Yeah, we did a full review of that one.
Well, yep. Review of the women's season that came past, so... You know, that's one we always look apart, and be interested to see who sticks around from that. Just to round out the club championship ladder, because I know you're all hanging on to see how they went in the club championship ladder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think technically Melbourne City ran away with it, and it didn't matter. But fifth place, we finished in sixth place out of nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, 9 eligible clubs, yeah. So we finished in sixth place on 43, just behind Wellington on 46. It should be noted that Western United, just with their men's team, beat us with 45 points.
Yeah.
But we did just knock over the Central Coast Mariners by 1 point, who are, of course, only have a men's team as well. What's Central Coast finish? What, fifth? Sixth?
Top six.
Yeah, top six. Fifth. Finals. Yeah, fifth. Oh, yeah, because Wellington's just smacking in sixth in themselves. Yeah. 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 They won 42, so they just beat them. And we're 1 point ahead of Perth, so you can seven. So Perth's combined output in the men's and women's equal to the Mariners. I don't see any trophies handed out for that. That really fell away.
But we looked after. We made sure we were on top of it.
Yeah, we made sure.
Because it matters to us.
It did matter to us.
At least until the end of this season.
We finished respectively mid-table in that competition.
Yeah.
Propped up by the way.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, propped up by Canberra United.
Yeah. Australia Cup. It was technically FFA Cup. The first one where we went on a bit of a run, had a quarterfinal loss, our best ever run, yay! Yeah. Also, pretty much lost to the first A-League team we ran into, as we normally do. So we had a 3-0 win over Penn Power and a 4-0 win over Lions. If you remember, we were sort of in a Queensland / NT only conference for that. So we could only draw out NPL teams from the local area, and so we knocked those two off, and then had a 1-0 loss to Sydney FC, which we came back. That was after a sort of big break, wasn't it? So,
just say what you're going to say, Ben.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say. It's the 23 Australia Cup preliminary round.
Oh, fuck, who cares?
No, because that's still happening now. No, that's a 2022. No, that's right.
It's always yearly.
Yeah.
When do they play the final?
The final will be played by before the end of the year.
Hmm.
Oh, you may see.
Who knows?
Anyway, doesn't matter. Well, we're still in it. So we had a 3-1 win over Western Sydney. I think you talked about that on the last show, didn't you?
Yep,
you did. The FA Cup.
Yep. We're done.
Yeah, so... Don't need to really cover off on that. We will be in the round of 32 because we're able to win that playoff game.
Top 32.
We will have our
a dick, Mark Reardon. NPL men's team in the moment, they're sitting in 11th position. They've only won the 2 games, drawn 2, lost 7.
Instantly, they can't get relegated to FQPL.
Yeah,
so we're second last, we can't get relegated.
Yes.
Which is not great for my club, Logan Lyon. But never mind.
I think Capella are stinking that up, something shocking.
Is that team so poor because we took all their players for the main team?
there's been a big change over in that team, actually. It's, when you look through, I looked through the starting list the other day, like, there was like Sam Klein, who was on the bench, and like one other player that I knew. And that male captain. NPL Women's, we sort of follow the QAS team in that one. They played 4 games still.
Yep.
Wow. They've won 2, lost 2. I feel like they played 4 games like 2 months ago. So
yeah, probably.
The rain and stuff. So yeah, that's where the NPL teams are at. So that QAS team's actually doing all right because that NPL women's team comp's pretty hot. But the men's team not doing so crash well this year. Chris Grossman out, is that what we're saying? Okay. I think he's running that team. Let's get into a little bit of Rawcast player and villain of the season for the men's team. Of course, we did the women's earlier in the year, and I think our player of the season was Katrina Gorin. Our villain of the season was Shay Connors. Not Ed Connors.
I believe so. Yeah, I can't remember exactly, but the sound of it, right?
Shay. Well, it wasn't... No, it wasn't the defender, was it? Not Ross Macon.
No, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, tall. Tall defender for the Brisbane Roars.
Yep.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Go back and listen to that show.
Go back and listen to it.
You've got a long history you can listen to.
There's a lot of back catalogue if you've got some time up your sleeve.
Well, they have got time. They've got time once every week now. Yeah. There's no more to listen
10 more years?
Yeah.
Listen to everything.
To be fair, the back catalogue only goes to pretty much when we move to Langer, so that's only about 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah.
If you're really desperate, I have a few more of them saved on USB somewhere from the SoundCloud days.
The unreleased episodes.
Yeah.
Broadcast after dark.
Things that were too R-rated.
Too hot to handle.
Things that were too redacted.
Alright, should we do the player of the season though?
Yeah,
definitely.
Alright, so as per usual, we have taken a poll of the team here. And just to give you a bit of context of who our previous player of the seasons have been, we've had such luminaries as Thomas Christensen, 2016-17.
Wow.
Jamie Young, it's a two-time winner, only two-time winner. 17, 18, 19, 20.
Well, we all wanted to vote for him this year.
Yeah,
Dylan Wenzel Halls got one as well. Riku Danzaki. And look, a couple of notable mentions in terms of the voting this year. Tom Yaldrey got a point. I think it should be noted that the amazing efforts of Sam Klein's 3 minutes got 1 point from Ben.
As I said, he contributed the least to this. Somebody who got on a pitch. He contributed the least. It was very much in the spirit of me choosing. Who was the goalkeeper that...
you gave three to Jordan Holmes.
No.
Nicholas O'Connell.
No, this was years ago.
Yeah, he gave it like a reserve goalkeeper or someone who came off
for a minute.
Was it Brendan White? No, it wouldn't be Brendan White.
Yeah, it was Brendan White.
There was a couple of other players got a few extra words. Eli Adams in the same vein for Ben. 2 points for him, you know, Tommy Aldridge, as we said before, her Scott never got a couple points. But let's focus on the top three.
Yeah.
And we have a clear top three here, which makes it easier. Jordan Holmes in third place, 7 points.
Yeah.
From Jordan.
Good work, Jordan.
Henry Hoare comes in second on 8. Yeah. Henry. But the broadcast player of the year for 21-22 is, of course, James J. O'Shea. Congratulations to standing Capitan. Well done, sir. Now, of course, that leads us on to the villain of the year, which, of course, is always everyone's favourite area.
Who is doing the illuminaries in the bricked up tunnel? Dave?
I mean, I was going to say, everyone likes celebrating a good player, but everyone loves celebrating a dickhead. So, to touch on some of the nominations, Tom Woodrow, I thought we got a point. In the positive column, he's got 2 points in the negatives column, so he's on a negative downward spiral there.
So that's an overall of minus one, is that what we're saying?
Net minus one, that's right. Nick Olsen, of course, got in there with a few points as well.
No,
so
you're not getting another QA facts.
No, we're not getting more QA facts. Fuck you guys.
QA facts, is it Nick Olsen?
Off. Just to give you a bit of a history of the villain of the year, though, of course, the past. Like you said, hold up in a
tunnel,
bricked up in a dark tunnel.
Jacob Pepper, abandoned rail tunnel.
Jacob Pepper, the OG of that rail tunnel. Ferg Ben Kofala, Danny Bowles, Roy O'Donovan, and last year's runaway winner, Gogo Mbrado. But this year we had three standouts again. In third place, Rio Wada with his 4 amazing appearances doing fuck all.
I still maintain that's on the club more than him, anyway.
It's still got 5 points, right?
Let's be real. The Backroos would win this award every year if they were eligible, right? Which they're not.
Second place, and this might be some surprise to the listeners, Juan Lescano comes in second.
Wow.
So a lot of people were saying, who the hell could be first? Who was the villain of the year? Well, that was quite clearly Ville. Matty Steinman with 10 points. Congratulations, Matty Steinman, for being an absolute shit kind of a player. For and that is your final ever broadcast player and villain of the year. Congratulations to JSA for taking that out.
Yeah,
JSA.
And it's
and
nice.
To Matty Steinman.
And to Matty Steinman for being an absolute flop.
The brown shoe.
I think it shows that all three of them are imports.
That does say
a lot about our season.
And then we had an NPL squad and those imports.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's pretty much realised. Yeah. Season tipping results, Dave.
Yeah.
This went right down to the wire, listeners.
Literally.
It was actually a fantastic ding-dong battle into the final series of the A-League Men's. So with some late changes of tips to try for people to try and keep themselves in it.
Oh, and what a contest it was. The listeners won't have known much about what happened in the finals purely because we weren't in them. So we didn't do many shows during that period. But there was a lot of movement, and it came down very late, or kind of late in the thing. It came down to four players being eligible to get the win, with certain results having to go their way. Let's get into the bottom of the table, though.
Yeah, come on.
Well, actually, let's start with the donuts. Sadly, I had to provide the donuts for this particular recording.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Thanks, Dave. Great donuts, Dave. Yeah, thank you.
Two donut rounds for the year compared to Ben, Dan's prices and Sheba's one. Although Yeshiba did knock out four separate ones, but three of them were only with two games or less due to postponement, so got lucky.
Thank you, COVID.
Perfect rounds. Ben, Dan, myself, Rick, and the listeners all got one. Nate, that you clearly did.
Yeah, as I say, you're missing someone there.
Yes. Yeah. I'm missing someone else because they got three, and that was pricey. Woo. Perfect rounds. Well done, sir. You killed it.
Yeah, well, there was like two W leagues and one A league.
Two dubs and an A league one. Yeah. That's right. But to end it all off, though, we do have the final results. Actually, no, we got the charity bet. We'll touch on the charity bet first. We did do charity bets all year, didn't we?
Yeah, we did do the charity bets.
I'm curious to see where that came in.
So we lost $20 out of the whole
thing. Yeah. Well, we ended up over the course of the season, we ended up betting $40 in single dollar bets to try and get, and we got a couple of winning weeks, but not enough to make up any sort of money to charity. We ended up losing about $7.14.
Wow. Okay, how do you do that on a tax return? So I negative geared a non-for-profit entity.
So I'm sorry, charity. We never actually specified which charity. It ended up being the TAB.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
But
they're a needy organisation. Very well funded. Yeah.
They really struggled during the pandemic. Yeah. Those betting companies. But we'll touch on the final results, of course. At the bottom, in seventh place, is the man that had won his fourth wooden spoon in Rawcast history, Yeshiba. Well done, sir. Four wooden spoons. That's more trophies than anyone here. Yeah. Well done.
Did anyone ever knock him off for a wooden spoon when he's actually been to a tipper?
Jamie did in the second ever season.
And there was one season where I started a fucking house on fire.
Beg my pardon, he's had 2 years where he wasn't a wooden spooner. Because he was in the first year as the mystery tipper.
That's right. Yes.
And Ben knocked him off for the wooden spoon that year.
The year where I refused to tip Sydney.
Yeah, they muckle
in. And I thought that was a good strategy. It wasn't that bad.
In sixth place, the listeners, Lesnar, you got to 101 points, so you cracked the time. Well done, guys.
Nice work, Cara. Good work, Cara.
Dan comes in fifth place with 105 points. Well done, Dan, for not being last and being ahead of the listeners. That's important. But in equal first place, there are four of us. And there are some first titles in this, and a second title for one person. Myself, Ben, Rick, and Pricey, all on 111 points. Nice way to end the season. So, massive congratulations to you, Pricey, for winning your second ever tipping contest.
It was a belt that we had.
And me for winning my first.
And me for winning my first as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone gets some of the trophy today.
That's right.
Everyone. Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Yeah. Everyone's won something, even if it is Nate.
Yeah.
That's right. I got enough wooden spoons to last me my life now.
You get to make us a cake. Yeah. And that's the tipping, guys. So thanks very much for getting involved with that. Obviously, we had put up a lot of fucking polls on that Twitter.
A lot of
page.
Polls put up very late, and yeah, well done, Dave. That's a lot of effort to put up those
and
polls.
And particularly as well, in the early polls. Seasons as well. Listen, a lot of segments went on for quite a while before we started to shorten them down to specific tips. You listened for a lot of our fun and games.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, it was fun. They're tipping, and there was a lot of some of those tipping polls got quite popular this year. Like, there would actually be some really good engagement on them. So.
Yeah, some of them,
And then others would be like two votes.
And if you need somewhere to go for your tips next season, I'll be finally joining Yellow Fever Tipping, as most of you should as well.
Yeah, it's a good place to if you want to keep
playing. Yeah, you're actually going to be watching the A-League.
Yeah.
Even if you're not.
Yeah. There are some good teams in the A-League.
Yeah.
Just we're not one of them.
Yeah, this is definitely some good football, mate. Yeah, myself and Dave, we've been on Yellow Fever Tipping for a couple of seasons. Yeah,
I'm back up to the Prem.
Back up to the Prem, yeah. Yes, I've been promoted. Yeah, I stand up. So I think I finally got myself out of the FQPL as well. That was an effort. Including the week where Simon Hill put like 12 points on me. Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, get involved in that, guys.
Yeah, that's actually a great competition run by Ryan Rovers. So, yeah.
He does a good effort from what I've been told.
So. Yeah, no, it's a fantastic way to do your tipping. Well, let's move on to season predictions. So we do have a big sheet of... So how do we want to... We want to start with...
So do the Do Not Open one first.
Yeah, we'll open that up. Bring that one up.
Bring it up on your screen.
Yeah.
We'll work out what we've actually got as our random tip, but we'll get the scores up there first.
There we go. We'll have a little bit bigger.
Oh, my goodness. I suppose.
We're all going blind.
What do you mean? You can't read that?
Is that good?
That looks good. Why don't you tell the listeners, because they can't see shit.
Yeah, they can't see shit. All right, sorry, that was a very bad podcast radio there. So what we've got is, of course, the six tips, the six people that we have around here. We all put in our preseason predictions, and you did as well, listeners, and we'll get to that in a minute. But so where we're at the moment is we've got so we will start with the actual scores. All right, so as we go through this, Danny Butts has only picked up the 4 points so far. So of course we predicted the ladder, we predicted winners, we predicted how many goals across the league, how many Brisbane Roar top goal scorer in the league. So we'll just go through them very quickly. So Danny Butts only on 4 points. Rick and Mr. Yoshiba have picked up 5. Myself and Dave are on 6. And Ben, sitting pretty with 7.
Oh,
nice work.
Yeah.
Fair to say that we all picked Melbourne City to come top of the ladder. And well done to Mr. Muir, to the Yoshiba, for picking second place Melbourne Victory when everyone else went Sydney FC.
Apparently your tipping was that good all through the year.
Yeah.
Seems like, though, it goes really downhill, though, after that. So.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So congrats to Rick on picking West United, finishing 3rd. I picked up Adelaide picking up 4th, and Wollongong Wellington picking up 6th, and Ben tipped Brisbane to finish on the well done, Ben.
Oh yeah.
We all then predicted Melbourne City would win the double, and of course that didn't happen. So this is the total goals. So 457 goals were scored. Within 5 equals 2 points. Dave got 461 and was within 2 points. So only missed it by 4.
Yeah, 4 goals.
So picked up 2 points for that. Well done. That's a good one. Oh, wow. Danny Butts.
That is a good call for top scorer of the A-League.
Yeah. So, so we'll just get to it in a second. But 463, so he got 1 point for that. McLaren was obviously top A-League scorer. And all of us tipped it apart from one, Mr. Danny Butts. Who did you pick?
Daniel Sturridge.
I think Jamie McLaren always had more goals than Sturridge had minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
The team with the most goals was Melbourne City, of course, and 4 of us picked that. Yoshida picked the victory, and Danny Butts went for Glory.
I was on the Sturridge train.
Sturridge was obviously going to score and put like 30 past. Did you have Perth Glory up like the top of the ladder as well, based on him?
I can't remember.
3rd, yeah.
Yes.
Total A-League cards, the correct total this season was 662. No one got to any. Who's closest there?
Fibulina around.
678.
Yeah.
A few up and above either side. Team with the most cards was equal between Adelaide and MacArthur at 69. Nice. Each. And we had one tip each. So Yoshiba picked Adelaide and Ben picked MacArthur for that one.
This next one.
Jesus. Wow. So the player with the most cards was actually a bit of a tie between a bunch of players. Depending on how you want
to, you just check what my tip was, because it says James Troisi, but I said something else.
Okay. Thank you.
Book for every game is not fast. <Yeah.
laughs> Sorry, I should have read that out as I was reading it. I'm a terrible host too. Let me host the show. Seriously.
That's alright, we won't make that mistake again.
Yeah. So the player with the most cards was a 6-way tie. So Tomislav Jusok got 8 yellows, Paolo Retre got 8 yellows, Leo Lacroix got 8 yellows, Jacob Farrell got 8 yellows, Alexander Sunshar, that's not how you say his last name, is it?
Sunshar,
yeah. Got 7 yellows, 1 red, and Daniel Pena got 6 yellows, 2 reds. So that was all booked. No one actually picked any of them. So a couple for Neil Kilkenny.
Rick picked Luke Brett, who played about 2 minutes of football because he was injured for most of the year.
Ruin Tonic, I don't think, was allowed near a football field, was he? After
forgot sent home from the Roots.
Yeah. Anyway, first coach sacked.
He ruined his career, I think.
Yeah. Carl Robinson was the first coach sacked, and
we're claiming that was my prediction.
There's a lot of Milicic's picks there, too.
Yeah, a lot of stuff from Milicic.
How was my prediction?
Ben has gone for Adam, went for John Aloisi with West
Virginia. Coach in the league.
Yeah.
Are we going to read out all the events?
We'll get to the events.
We'll get to come back to the events at the end. We've got the number of goals that Brisbane Roar would score. So the direct total was 29, and this is in the league. The closest were 32, so we all went over on what we scored, which was done by Danny Butts and Ben. So they were pretty close, so only three off. And then...
That's half of Danny Butts' points, by the way.
Yeah.
And I went through three. I can't believe I was optimistic about the number of goals that we would score.
Yoshima went for 43, was the highest, just to be furthest away. He thought we'd score 14 more. Top scorer, we had a nice little mixture there. A couple for Juan Lascano. So Dave and...
Mila Yusnich.
Yeah, that was literally after like our first show. And we learned how to pronounce it. Mila Yusnich. So two of us went for him. Yourself and Rick. And a couple for Parsons. Nice little split there, actually. Total Brisbane cards, 55. We all went well under on this one. Holy moly. So we're a much dirtier team this year. So we're in 55. Closest there was Brisbane with 40. Wow.
Average crowd.
Our average was 4,500.
The closest was Dan, and he was 700 ahead of the actual crowd.
And the nearest after me was 1,600 more.
Yeah, I went 600.
I think I just put in random numbers because that does not seem like me.
Yeah, you've gone way too optimistic there. Well, I think we went off last season. Yeah. I think we were predicting a less COVID. I was expecting a less COVID affected season.
Less COVID.
So that's why I think we all went up.
I was the only one who tipped less average than last season.
Yeah,
you were right.
Still not close enough to get a point. But
we're also predicting less dog shit. But anyway.
No. I get my a couple of Melbourne cities. Okay, I was like, where did I get my points from? Like, I think you might have given me too many points, Dad.
No, mate.
Anyway,
it's all right. You got the points. You got them on.
And that just leaves the random events. So, would we like to each read out? People, it might be a bit hard for people to see, is it? So I might need to read it out for them.
You read it out for them.
All right, so Dave has gone for a player who's forced to do a 2-week quarantine in Perth after leaving the team bubble to go on a Macca's run.
Not entirely. The season prior, it would have been totally something. Did some guys like pre quarantine?
But that was Perth that were the first ones that like, they got locked down and they came over here.
I picked up the quarantine, I picked up Perth, took out the single player and a Macca's run is, I don't know.
It's annoyingly close. It'd be a half point. No.
That's a throwback. Fuck you.
I'm
happy to take a half point if you guys think it's a half point. That's fine.
It's partial. We'll see if anyone else gets closer, and if you don't, then we'll give you half a point.
Okay, thanks.
A player or staff member, this is from Danny Butts, a player or staff member sacked due to comments in the media. I don't think we really had.
It wasn't really a volatile season, was it?
When you sort of lose some media coverage, they can lose opportunities to get themselves in trouble.
That's close-ish, because wasn't... something to do with being an anti-vaxxer or something that got somebody
sacked. Fully in trouble though.
Yeah.
Not know. Sacked, no. Yeah. No, I don't think that'll happen.
Not player or star.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to read mine out because I had to confirm with Dave on this one on whether or not it would actually qualify as a random event when I put it in. I got nothing but fits of laughter from the other end of the phone, and he said it was perfect. So my random event was actually Yoshiba not finishing last in the tipping. How long I was. I had faith in you, Yoshiba, and you let me down.
How many points behind was he in the end?
30.
30.
24, 30.
So does that mean Rick got minus 25?
Yeah, minus a point because it absolutely didn't happen. Speaking of Yoshiba, Yoshiba went for one of Central Coast Mariners' inflatable advertising Master Food Source bottles will deflate, becoming loose from its secure frame and being blown on the pitch. Hopefully this is one of the Central Coast Mariners' New Year's Eve magical shit shows.
What didn't they say New Year's
Eve? The bottle being deflated? I think it might have been deflated.
It's happened in prior seasons.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it happened this year.
I just had too much faith in that New Year's
Eve. Yeah, I was just expecting that. The sequel's never as good as the
saying what the point, but something else did... something happened this season which was in the spirit of that, wasn't it? So we talked about something. Can't remember what
there's been like. A few things.
My memory is lapsing.
We'll probably come up to it when we do the...
Honestly, if we take any... if the A-League folded tomorrow, that's still what I would take as the highlight.
Ben?
I predicted that a club would fold mid-season and came close.
Yeah.
I reckon Perth thought about pulling the pin halfway through.
And MacArthur, yeah. There's rumours that that could have been during the season.
But it's not mid-season now, is it?
No. That's right.
It's not mid-season, so it's supposed to be, maybe half a point.
if anything's worth half a point, this is worth half a point.
No, I'd say this is almost worth a point, to be fair.
I don't know. I was clearly in a shit-taker mode here, so this is mine. Construction starts on Western United's new stadium. It is full steam ahead with no issues or delays whatsoever.
I will say...
They've turned sod.
That thing, and they built.
It's still
no, but they
yeah,
built.
That was someone just doing donuts on the
that's
locals.
A half a point. That is a half. Point.
Yeah, I'd say it's half a point at least because they've actually built access roads inside that.
Yeah,
that's
literally put the ceremonial fucking shovel in the ground. That's half.
They've built access roads.
Yeah, build access roads. I think they've actually confirmed they're not even starting the stadium. It's only going to be the training pitch.
But the actual stadium.
Which will have a stand, which will be enough for them anyway.
Okay. What makes it half a point is that with no delays or whatsoever. Because then COVID and construction delays have ensued.
This
so,
is like when we made it a random event if it came true.
Half a point. Half a fucking
and then we all remember that we're shitting on this so much, yet this is the team that won the fucking A-League.
Yeah,
they've
wanted
a few years to get their stadium sorted.
What do I get? A blue half a point.
Yeah.
0.5.
Oh, it puts you into outright second.
Yeah, it does.
So it was my business. Might not get half a point.
Mine was better, so no.
Alright, whatever.
It's alright.
Ben still wins anyway.
Hey! There you go, Benny boy.
Should we have a look at the other one broadcast season? Because we'll have a look at the other teams, well, the other people's results.
We did get
quite a few responses. I think it was about.
I just want to see if someone gets a random event 100% right.
We had about 16 responses from other people. I'll give you a quick summary of what we got there.
Boy.
So we got a few people that have done pretty well. Matt Funk and someone by the name of Ben had put in that, not you, Ben, coming with 7 points apiece. Armin had come in with 8. Peter Clark, who came in with 11 points, so he has literally beaten everybody. But a lot of Melbourne City winning the league sort of stuff. And
probably the next best was a lot. 3 people picked MacArthur to finish 7th.
Yeah.
Poor Christine at one point, Jesus.
Some good
run to Lucas Lynch on picking Perth Glory to finish last.
And I can't believe nobody predicted Brisbane to finish 11th. You know,
no, there was only one person that did that in the entire
time. To be fair, Ben, Peter Clark, who got the most points of anyone, tipped Brisbane to come last. Oh, no, wait, that's
enough. He
tipped
Brisbane
come
win
first.
To win the A-League.
From third place, yeah.
Jesus.
Not everyone gets everything right all the time.
What? Okay, now that is fucking amazing. That Christina has got nothing right except total A-League goals.
Yeah, within ten of the A-League goals, so
awesome.
Well done.
I think Jesse Jenkinson might have missed some numbers there, predicted that there would be 30 A-League goals all season. That would have been one incredibly boring season, Jesse.
Well done, Ashwin, getting within 5 of that one, actually.
Yeah, did all right.
I'll just have a quick look through some of the other ones.
A lot of people picking, if you want to go forward, I'll just realise, a lot of people picking Melbourne City with... top goals for the top goals and Jamie.
I just want to say thank you to Joe for tipping Daniel Sturridge as top scorer. I'm not alone.
For Rolly, put in the thing as Flop and Rolly.
Flop and Rolly,
good areas.
Team with the most goals, Brisbane was being optimistic. Total cards, we had a couple people within the margin there. So well done to Matty Funk and Nick Webster and
Jason. No one got the players with the most cards. That's fine. That's a hard one.
A couple got that. A few got Robinson being sacked. Sorry, Carl Robinson being sacked.
Can I just throw a big shout out to Peter Clark? This is one of the reasons why he got so many points. He nailed exactly the number of fans we'd have on average at Brisbane games. He tipped 4,500. Bang on.
Wow.
Exactly
nice,
what we ended up
nice.
Having. Helped that we had a really rounded figure for the average.
Yeah.
But... still, well done. Really well done. That's 3 points, and that's made a big difference there.
Matt Funk also did incredibly well on that one.
He was in within 200. 200. Yep.
I think Joe Curtis predicted us to have more people than we can actually fit in Redcliffe. 11,200.
He predicted
wait, what's
the capacity?
Full
house.
I'm gonna put that one down. That's the capacity of Redcliffe, and he was taking the piss.
Hey, look, his random event is that we're going to have full houses all game. All right.
But I do have to take issue with Matt Frank on one thing. Predicting Matty Steinman to finish as our
goal scorer.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And also, I do love the optimism of whoever puts Cyrus Demme in there. That's very...
Well, it was done shortly after, you know,
you
wake up.
You could almost give a half point, and I know it's only on A-League that we base this on, but Luka Ivanovic for...
Yeah, not bad. Look, given there's only one person that did that one, I'm happy to give him an extra point just for the shits and gigs of it.
Any good ones in this?
Let's read all of them out anyway.
All right,
of course.
A team will break the record for the biggest ever winning scoreline.
No, that didn't happen.
Jamie Young.
That was Michael Moons. Thanks, Michael.
Matt Funt went for a Jamie Young own goal in the first game of the season.
didn't happen.
Remed Akbari to be caught up in national team set.
Wait, that's right.
Yep. So I hadn't put in any results, so we hadn't gone through it. So that's a great call by Scott McCormick.
Did you mean Afghanistan? I mean, it's still technically correct.
It's a national team. It just says national team.
Scott, if you're listening, and this is on the socials, can you confirm if you intended for that to be Australia or Afghanistan?
Lucas Lynch, Jamie Young will score a goal.
No dice.
Nope.
Prison Raw will start building a stadium.
Thanks, Ashwin, for that one.
Jesse Jenkinson, a player leaves because unvaccinated. I think everyone fell into line eventually. Begrudgingly.
Peter Clark's one's really fucking good. He was
very close.
I'd give him a half point for this.
Yeah. I would, because we don't know that Sturridge isn't going to Japan yet.
Sturridge played two games all season before moving to Japan. He played less than two games in minutes.
Yeah.
I'm keen for a half a point.
I'd give him half a point. If Sturridge moves to Japan, I'd give him a full point. Posthumously.
Yeah. Mate, he's already ahead. He can't lose. We'll give him half a point.
I love this next prediction.
This is a good prediction. Yeah. It's a good throwback from Luke Patterson here. Jason Derulio will be back for the grand final entertainment.
I hate to just be guy.
This next one's even better.
Next one's even better. Daniel Sturridge won't get injured. He came injured. He stayed injured.
That's such a great random event.
Thanks for that.
Christina with Aloisi, both of us out of the country. He won the league.
Oops.
Yeah.
Mike forgot to put something in here.
Yeah. Hang on, this one. This one's good from
that's
Jason.
That's a point.
Sturridge injured for most of the season. That's
I love that this is like random event, and then most of them are not to do with the Raw because the other ones are easy bets.
Ben with the absolute one out of thin air here. This is a great one.
A remote control Isuzu used to deliver match balls. It happened in the final series.
Yeah.
Didn't happen all season, but did happen in the final series. Absolutely good point.
Fantastic.
Had to happen, and it did. Yeah. I like this one. Joe Curtis with Nelly Owens, a feature on a Channel 10 book.
I wish that he did.
Oh boy, this one is very wrong from Poor Predictor. No disruptions to the season.
Well, that is Poor Predictor.
Yeah, at least his name was right.
Yeah. And Armin went for John Aloisi gets sent off at Morton Daly Stadium.
It did not happen, though.
He might have got himself sent off somewhere in the season.
I don't think he did, but the worst send-offs for coaches definitely were.
There's some really good ones in there. The Studge ones were fantastic. But look, massive credit to Armin and Ben, who ended up being equal second there with 8 points. But Peter Clark had done the work early on.
Yeah.
He has 11 and a half points. You, my friend, have won the predictions of the wins
off basically picking the crowd exactly.
We'll take the credit. Credit he still wins 8.5 to So, but he's done a massive job there. He's done really well to predict a lot of that season.
Yeah, he knew Adelaide would be dirty bastards. New McLaren, Melbourne City would score goals. And
I hope you put some real money on some of that stuff there, Peter.
Especially that crowd number. If you could tip that, I'll put that on money on that, it'd be cheering.
Absolutely.
You got four right in the ladder prediction, so that's pretty good. We'd like to get four right there.
Big one from you. Well done, Peter.
Congratulations. And thank you all for participating, listeners. You know, it's always been one of the good things about doing this show is when you get some good little bit of listeners, you know, leaving comments, getting involved. These predictions are start of the year. It's always fun to do these sorts of things and ladder predictions. And maybe we should spit this, you know, we should have spat this data out. Ryan's Rovers could have done some, he likes to do some drafts.
Yeah, he likes doing stuff.
Anyway. We'll let him do that one next
Speaking
year.
Speaking of feedback,
keep that in mind for the future. Yeah.
Speaking of feedback, we did throw out a few things to hear what listeners have to say about our highlights of the past season as we record today's show. John on Twitter said, "Are you joining the backers and just giving up? Final show ever." yes.
Mate, unless someone pays us to come back Johnny Farnham style.
I mean, if we do nothing,
we're singing You're the Voice as the players walk out.
If we do nothing but send out a few tweets next year, we're still investing more in the backers.
Wally Broon on Facebook, Henry Hall's enthusiasm. Highlights of Henry Hall's enthusiasm, beating Sydney last game, Kai Truman getting caught up to 23s, best run in the cup. Low lights, pretty much the rest of the season. Lack of an inform or injury-free striker letting Parsons go. So that's Willie's highlights, low lights, so which I think we pretty much covered in a lot of our stuff too. So
yeah, good on
him. Yeah,
thank you, Willie. Always love your feedback on games and seeing you at the game at the back of the game. So I think we're sort of getting into the wrapping it all up, really. I guess we're just going to go through some moments in Rawcast history. When do you want to do the quiz bit?
Fuck, we'll do it now.
Yeah, let's do the quiz now, then we'll do the Rawcast and
right.
On that bit.
Let's do the quiz. Fucking the Rawcast history stuff we can do quickly. But...
O-R-A-N-G-E. That spells orange easy as can be. O-R-A-N-G-E. That spells orange most definitely.
Die. New game and it's day new game, yeah.
Right, so we've got. Four, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm going to we'll just go around the table.
If you thought this was going to be a short show, this is seriously
nope. We'll just go around the thing. We'll keep a tally of our scores as we go along. But 10 questions, 4 sort of categories, if you like, and. I suppose whoever gets the most wins, really. So we'll start with, we'll go around clockwise from where I am. Ben, you can hear everything from there. Sweet as. This first topic is broadcast / broadcast stuff from the year. Paramount Plus, Channel 10, just this show, that sort of stuff. So the first question, and you guys listen at home as well, if you keep your own tally for what you remember, that's good too. See if you can beat anyone. Hope you can. The first game, this is for you, Pricey. The first game shown on the new 10/ Paramount Plus deal was Australia versus China, while for qualifying in Doha. But what was the first domestic game broadcast?
It would have been an Australia Cup game, and I think we might have been first. No, but it's someone did it Adelaide or someone picked this. Or was it Brisbane v Lions in the FA? No, we played Penny Power first.
Is that your answer?
Hang on.
Now you're looking it up.
Brisbane v Penn Power from Dolphins.
It's correct. Well done. It's a point for Pricey straight off the bat. Well done, mate. All right. Ben.
Yes.
That's right, Ben Pricey's name, so don't forget that. Ben, Paramount Plus and / 10 created a promotional video or ad for the start of the A-League and national teams. What was the song used in the video? It was the pre-game, pre-season sort of promo thing.
It was called Real Nice, and it featured TK Mazer.
No.
No.
That wasn't the Channel 10 Paramount Plus video. That was the legit A-League one. This is talking about the one where they did the video in Brisbane. They filmed a lot of stuff in Brisbane.
Yeah, we were on Western United. It was like Ridge and West End.
It's I Just Can't Get Enough, but by Depeche Mode.
Yeah, it was like to the chair that everyone sang. That's it. Yeah,
it was a
good one. I liked that.
I really liked it. song bit.
Nice. Yes, West United was that random overpass bridge at West End, and there was skills happening around the R&A showgrounds.
Yep,
and we were like the main city that wasn't locked in to film stuff.
Alright, Nate. It emerged early in the seasons that referees were instructed to include a drinks breaks for free-to-air matches for what reason?
McDonald's advertising?
Yeah, that's good enough. TV ads.
Yeah,
correct.
Which is totally the wrong thing to do, but that's what they did.
Yep, sure was.
Watch on Paramount Plus and it doesn't go away from that.
No, but they still had the button breaks, didn't they?
I think Simon Gore doesn't like it, because that's why he stopped doing the Saturday night games, where you really had to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. That's my little theory.
Now, off the back of Ben's poor answer from beforehand, Dan, Real Nice is an absolute banger of a tune the A-League's official song used. Which players were featured in the music video?
Oh, Jesus
Christ. I'll give you a point... If you get one of them, you get one of the two.
There's two players in it.
There was a male and a female player.
Sam Kerr.
She doesn't play in the A-League, so no. No. There's Mark Attilio and Jada Wyman.
Yeah, I have no idea.
That's right.
Newton.
Rick. Name the football panel show that was available on 10 Play and only started on the 13th of April.
Did you miss this one? It was big news, mate. Big news. Yeah, so Channel 10
it started two-thirds or three-quarters of the way through the season. It was a panel show that they actually had.
And only on 10 Play. Only on 10 Play. Plus.
No. Round ball rules. That was one Simon Hill covering. Pricey, this is a fucking gimme because we spoke about this earlier. What does kill the penguin mean?
Kill the penguin is ending the nil-nil scoreline because when the graphics first appeared, the 0-0s look like eyes of a penguin.
Correct.
Specifically penguin.
Yeah.
Correct. Let's make sure I'm in the notes there as well. There we go. Price, you got that one. Fucking awesome.
I'm doing that anyway.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. Ben, did we succeed in winning any money in our charity bets this year? We touched on this beforehand.
No, we didn't. But, well, technically we won it on individual bets, but not over the course of
correct.
The season.
Correct, that was also on the floor over the course of the season, thank you. All right, one for Ben.
Did we get one in the A-League in the end?
We got 1 week in the A-League where we got a result.
Yeah, I think we got two in the W-League.
Two in the dub, but nothing enough to make up the points.
Yeah. And that was when most of the games were rescheduled due to COVID.
Yeah. Nate, I'm glad this one's for you, because this would have been a gimme for Ben. What was the rumour released by Ben on April Fool's Day on our Twitter feed? Given that you're one of three people here, not on Twitter.
Well, I'm on Twitter, but only for online competitions.
Only for broadcast. Jesus. Eh?
Yeah. That the Backroos have sold the Brisbane Roar.
Yeah, Backroos sold. Backroos. Hey, do you remember who they were meant to have sold it to, though? And you'll get the point because I think it's close enough. Do you remember who it was meant to be selling it to?
Elton fucking John.
Clive Palmer.
And it got some traction too. That one, I was very happy with it.
Sure as shit did.
People were taking it very seriously.
Dan, what was the title of episode 7 in which we had to redact a whole bunch of information?
Redacted.
Correct.
Oh, Jesus. 17, not 7. It's late.
Episode 17. Oh, I said that, yeah.
Oh, I think it's 7.
No, that's right. And Rick, this is a gimme as well. What season number is this?
It's a trick question.
Just in the raw cast?
Wow.
Yeah. Correct. That's one for Rick.
2 plus 2 is 4. 2 plus 2 is 4.
So, score update after 2 questions each is Pricey and Nate on 2, Ben, Butsy, and Rick on 1 apiece. I hope you guys listening are on 10 because, I mean, you'd be killing us all then.
Yeah.
You're destroying it. I mean, well done. On to the FFA/Australia Cup questions. Pricey. A preliminary playoff match was introduced in the 2021 season to eliminate 2 A-League clubs before the round of 32. These playoff matches will now have been included, obviously, for 2022. Name the one A-League club that's been eliminated at this stage in both seasons.
It's probably Wanderers.
Is wrong.
Ooh.
It's Perth Glory.
Ben.
Yeah, because I would have lost a bit. Okay.
Who was the goalkeeper sent off for Central Coast Mariners in the FFA Cup round of 16 match versus Wollongong?
Mark Birigidi.
That's correct. That's it. Big one there. Right, Nate. Which NPL team was the first to defeat an A-League team in this year's FFA Cup? No, Jesus was not involved.
Jesus was not eliminated in the third round of South Australian qualifying, sorry.
Is in the Mexican. No.
South.
Is incorrect. Up your Leichhardt beat Western Sydney 2-1. Dan, why did the FFA Cup quarterfinal between Sydney and Brisbane get postponed?
Because of COVID?
I need more information than that. Because you're right, but there's a specific reason why COVID impacted it.
Because the players couldn't travel because they had COVID, so they couldn't get down there in time.
Yeah, I think it's
it was something like
it's
that.
So close. Brisbane's charter flight was unable to leave due to COVID implications of the crew flying to Sydney.
Yeah, for adding that's
had no one to fly the plane.
Doesn't really count.
Yeah, you were talking players, not yet.
Yeah, then we gather one. Rick, Wellington Phoenix defeated Melbourne City on penalties in the quarterfinal. How many penalties does Scott Jamieson miss in the match?
Two.
Correct.
It had to be. It was a trick.
Correct. One in the regular time, one in the shootout.
Good one.
Okay. Pricey. This is one of my favourite questions in the entire thing. Nick Meredith, start with that, was on comms for Gold Coast Knights versus Melbourne Victory. During comms, he complained about the price of the chips. How much did they cost?
I mean, I can't remember. I remember the speakers.
Yeah.
Was it like $8 or something like that?
Not quite. $10.
Oh, it was $10.
Jesus.
And they weren't exactly. It was legitimate.
Yeah, but also funny.
Yeah, it was legit.
Literally part of the commentary on the show of the game. It was great.
What might it possibly cost, Michael? $10?
He should have gone into the bloody Croatian club and got Kovefi.
Ben, which player was denied the opportunity to play in the FA Cup final for Central Coast due to not being registered in time?
Jason Cummings.
Correct.
Come dog!
Nate.
Can't believe it's been called that.
Sorry, just a minute. Too. Nate, what colour was Jason Davidson's hair for the FA Cup final?
It was kind of a blue purpley colour.
Incorrect. No. It's pink.
Yeah,
it's pink for that one.
Oh, gosh.
Dan, the Mike Cockerell medal is for the best non-A-League player in the FA Cup. Name the winner.
Yeah, I remember him getting awarded it, but cannot remember who it is.
I'll give you half a point if you can name the club he came from.
Leichhardt.
No. Correct. Finn Beekhurst from Lions.
Finn Beekhurst, because he was on the Raw books at some point? Was he on the Raw books at some point?
No, don't think
okay.
so.
I definitely
he's at Lions, so.
Didn't see him on the list before. We
no,
saw
that's right.
So we didn't recognise.
This is a gimme.
Really?
Rick.
He's only got 2 games in, he got that.
Rick, what's the score of the FA Cup final?
I didn't watch it, so. 2-1.
To who?
I don't even know who was in it.
Well, there was a clue in a previous question.
There's two clues in previous questions.
I'll go see.
Incorrect. Yeah. Victory 2-1 over Central Coast.
Okay.
Jason Davidson.
Jason Davidson.
And the cum dog. So, after the FA Cup round... We have Pricey on 2, Ben on 3, Yeshiba on 2, Butsy on 1, come on, man. Rick on 2. Hopefully the listeners have 20 by now, but that's okay. A-Leagues, Pricey. What is the name of the Wellington Phoenix Australian home ground?
The name of the...
The name of the ground.
Wynn Stadium.
Correct.
Ooh.
I'll let you keep the title up there, because fuck this, it's right.
Yeah.
Ben. What game was the opening game of the A-League's men's season?
Adelaide versus Macarthur.
Incorrect. No, it was Melbourne City versus Brisbane.
Oh, I'm not going to say something just in case it's your next question.
That's right. Nate, what was the only team not to have scored after 2 matches in the A-League men's?
Perth Glory.
Sydney FC. Suck it, Sydney. Cop that, dickheads. Dan. In the opening game of the A-League women's season, Western Sydney manager Catherine Canooley was booked for an unusual reason. What was that reason?
Coming onto the pitch.
Yeah, I'll give that. She came onto the pitch, deliberately fainted with the ball while it was still in play.
Woo.
She was actually trying to stop the ball from going out so she could speed up play for a throw-in for it, but she got in too early. Rick, Wellington women got their first ever win against which team?
Adelaide.
It would be wrong. It's Canberra. 3-0. Pricey. Mm-hmm. We're halfway through this one and we got like 1 point out of the first 5. I think that's terrible. Guys. I know all these answers. Because I've got them in front of me. Pricey, what was wrong with the pitch ahead of Western Sydney versus Adelaide in the A-League women's that caused a delay in the kickoff?
Oh, was it a sinkhole?
It was a sinkhole.
Mm. Wow.
I've never seen that before. My game at the preseason game this year. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Ben, which A-League club had their Twitter account blocked or suspended?
Central Coast.
Yes.
And they quickly replaced it with
The Marvin one?
They used the Marvin Twitter account to like live tweet the game.
Yeah, they had to use Marvin.
Did we ever figure out why?
Yeah, because the new admin of the Twitter account put his birth date in, which meant that when the Twitter account was created at the start of the A-League, he was underage.
Oh,
so they banned the Twitter account because he was...
violated the terms.
Nate, who became Adelaide United's leading scorer of all time this season?
Only had one good player.
Oh, Craig Goodwin.
Yeah, Torre, obviously. Craig Goodwin is correct. Damn.
Eugene.
Who got sent off in Wellington versus Western Sydney at Eden Park?
Wellington versus Western Sydney. Carl Robinson.
No, he was gone by that stage. But you're close. Mark Rudin was sent off. And Bance was had by all.
That was the infamous coach sending off that I was remembering for this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick, how many games did Sydney FC win in the ACL group stage?
I'm going to go with none.
Correct. Suck at Sydney. How about our last shot? Suck at Sydney.
I was thinking, did they win one?
No, they didn't. They had two draws and four losses. All right, this is the final 10, and this is all about Brisbane Roar. So, Pricey. Oh, actually, points score, points check. Pricey on 4. Ben, 4. Shiva, 3. Brick, 3. And Butsy on 2. Hey, Butsy, you don't lose to Nate. He's the perennial last place tipper. Maybe this is his thing. All right. Brisbane Roar, Pricey, who became first Brisbane Roar player to have scored in multiple goals in the FFA Cup across all games? Like all the history of the FFA Cup, who was the first player to have scored more than one goal in the Cup competition?
Not him. who scored in those games? Oh, is it like Scott Neville or something?
No, it's Corey Brown.
Ah.
Scored in 2014 versus Stirling Lions and first goal scorer against Lions FC. He likes scoring against Lions. Ben, who scored our first A-League's men's goal of the season?
It was... Scott Neville?
Are we going to answer Scott Neville for all these questions? No, it was Luke Ivanovic. Nate, the answer to this is not Scott Neville. Who scored our first A-League women's goal of the season?
Scott Neville!
That was... Anna McGrath.
Correct.
Woo.
Point for you. Dan, how many combined points did both the men's and women's team have at Christmas?
Oh, Christmas.
Scott Neville.
That's tricky. 21.
Well, that's optimistic. We had 2. Each team had a point. much like your score, Buzzy.
Yeah, you can tell why I'm all over this.
Yeah, basically, they haven't played.
Yeah, that's it. I'm never coming on another Roar
Cast. Yeah.
And our waveform was awful.
Rick, well, guess what? Who made their return from ACL injury in the 4-2 win over Melbourne victory in the A-League Women's?
Yes, that it is, yes.
It wasn't a away game, if that helps.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
I can kind of picture someone, but I just can't think of their name at the moment.
Well, that's what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be hard if you can't get the name right, James.
Yeah.
Scott Neville.
Scott Neville. Nah, pass.
Natalie Tatum. Alright, last 5 questions. Buzzy, you're out of the contest. You're unfortunately too far behind. Pricey, Ben and Nate. Rick, you still have a chance.
Can I just jump in on any and just get everyone else?
Scott Neville.
Question 6. Pricey, which player scored, got booked and got subbed in Brisbane versus Adelaide game on the 23rd of January?
We didn't have many players score goals.
I should say it doesn't necessarily mean it was a Brisbane player.
It's
just a Brisbane game. But that's not to say it wasn't a Brisbane player.
That doesn't mean it wasn't Scott Neville.
It could have been Scott Neville.
It wasn't Aldrich presenting score. Because he went up early in that game. Scored, booked and subbed.
Scored, booked and subbed.
Yeah.
I don't think we scored, so I'm going to go Craig Cooper.
It's incorrect. Who did you think it was?
That's what I was thinking.
Stephen Moore. Yeah, there we go. Danny's on board.
Did you have that point?
Yeah.
Ben, Brisbane suffered their biggest ever loss in the dub this season, going down 8-2 at home. Who scored Brisbane's two goals?
Katrina Gorey?
No, it's Jay Connors.
She got the orange. Okay.
Because everyone else is shit.
Yeah.
Nate, Brisbane played Melbourne Victory on Anzac Day, but that wasn't the original opponent for the day. Who was originally scheduled to play against Brisbane?
I know this, because
I'll take the
league. Adelaide United. Oh, no. Sydney FC. Haha, fuck off, Sydney. You get that game.
Yeah. You were ordering a fancy champion.
And we beat you in the last game, dickheads. Dick, how many own goals did Brisbane score this season in the A-League men's?
Six.
Correct. I could have said the A-League men's and women's combined, but there were a few extra in there too. But yeah, six is correct. Last but not least, it's funny, who won Brisbane Roar's Macca's Man of the Match Twitter poll and they got sent off moments after in the home loss to Central Coast? Scott Neville!
You know, after Scott Neville for most of them was about as long as we did in that.
Is that the final one?
That's the final.
Oh man, we need a tiebreaker or some shit.
Oh my god.
I want a result out of this. Fuck this. I want a result. We're going to give you one other question. I'll just pull one up.
Right. Another question. Buzz in with your name, I think.
Buzz in with
your
name.
Fine. I just wanted to equalise.
No, this will be a closest two. So everyone gets to have a crack, okay. except for Buzzy. WADA provided an assist for Akbari on debut against Wellington Phoenix. What minute was the goal scored in? Pricey, this is closest to
26.
54. Third.
I had a feeling it was later in the game, so I'm going to go 72nd.
It was the 7th minute. Nate is the winner.
You would have to
do it. Well done, Nate. Excellent result. Nice. And finally, who goes home with the trophy?
Jeez.
There we go. Well done, Yoshida. Yes, picking up on the tiebreaker for the quiz. Thank you very much, Dave, for running that and all the other little quizzy things you've done along the way and all the play naming things, all those times I lost to Ben.
All the organisation shit that I had no ability to do and Pricey had no time to do.
Yeah. Hey, what was that? What was that game that I always lost and came second in? That was just Dave's game.
Yeah, Dave's game.
It was named after someone.
With the worst Dave's
game.
don't forget that.
Yeah, can you tell I did that one when I just needed to?
No issue with it. It was fantastic.
So there we go. That ends the quiz. Nice and even towards the end. So as we've sort of finished and do a bit of broadcast history.
I wanted to add one point at the very start of all of the broadcast history. It was actually me that came up with the name. Because back on the rawforum.net, I started a little thread on there back in 2010, I believe, saying, I want to start a raw podcast. To which there was approximately...
So this is your fault.
To which there was approximately 2 replies in 2 years.
Was there one set
later? I didn't check the thread for ages. I come back, Chad replied, and had started the podcast already. And I thought, it's forgotten. Oh, well. But
so no pink card from Seth Blatter for that one?
No.
So whatever his name was, Septic Blatter.
Septic Blatter.
No, none of that. It was just, it lay dormant, the idea. And Chad obviously saw it and went, hey, you know what? Good idea.
Liked it.
Mm. I think there was another raw podcast around for a little while done by Troy Chandler, I think. Or maybe it was Toronto.
It's called Brisbane Football Review. Go check it out.
Yeah, if you wish to continue your podcast listening and you're not already listening to them, Brisbane Football Review, I'm sure, with Scotto and Adam, will be continuing on. I don't know if Dan's on there much anymore. I don't know if it's a long time. Anyway, and if they wish to pay me, well,
let us play homage to our historical starter of the pod, the father of modern day broadcast, Chad Friend, obviously.
Chad Friend, and all legal responsibility lies with.
All legal.
I came up with the name. He started the thing.
Yeah,
definitely. All legal responsibility refers to Chad. All legal responsibility to Chad Friend.
That's right. So Google him, and I'm sure you'll find his address.
C H.
So it was started in 2012-13 season with Chad. It's a recording fan interviews in the pub. So I don't know if either of you
did. Yeah, I got interviewed for one of them. I remember doing that at the back of, what was the old pub we used to go to before?
Stadium Bar.
What was Chad's reaction when we told him we were finishing the pod? Was it something like, oh shit?
About fucking time, something like that?
Yeah. He's still active, he's still in the group chat, doesn't he?
He's up to date.
Yeah. I think he just clears the boldness of the chat icon.
He's still fucking talking to each other all these years later.
Yeah, I know.
No, he did have it muted for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what I mean. He just clicks in to get rid of the boldness. Yeah, the same stuff's happened. Started as a fan interview. Then sort of Adam and Dave joined Chad later that season and created the more panel style podcast. Yep. And Adam would record on a little voice recorder and
we moved to a video podcast in the spare room of Chad's apartment, which was very claustrophobic. So we decided to move it to the pub.
Yeah.
And we started doing the shows at the pub.
That's it. And I know that's when you first came along, Ben.
That's right.
Friend of the show, Patrick Lindsay, was on there a couple of times, and I know that's where I actually got my first gig on there. I was nearby, then you were living nearby, and they were desperate for a panel member, so down I came.
Sucker.
Yeah, that would be
shit
decision that was. I think we got a free beer out of it. And thank you to Dallas for letting us in on the top seat.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, massive shout out to Dallas and the team at LA that helped us out with doing that, because they didn't have to. They could have said, yeah, fuck off. Yeah. But it gave us a nice little ambiance to some of it.
And, obviously, go and support Dallas at the Lions Club.
Yep.
Now, if you want to go and support Dallas.
And a few of the old bartenders from the Central LA days are still out there as well.
That's right, yeah.
Recorded on, I think it was on a, you still recorded the voice on just the voice on the dictaphone, and it was a GoPro,
that you recorded.
You can still find them up on YouTube if you really want to. So if you want to find them, so
including my infamous black hole review,
the end of season player review of Dimi Petratos from Ben Clark, calling him a black hole of the A-League.
Yeah, and then
he's
sort
played for Australia since then, I think.
Yeah. moved overseas. Yeah, yeah.
Loaned back.
Everyone wanted money without even showing up to Newcastle.
Yeah. We signed the rest of the family.
Yeah.
Changed back to an audio pod once Chad left. And we moved into, myself and Jamie was on a bit as well. So we did have a permanent female voice on here for a little while.
Yep.
We sort of rotated around the five of us. And Adam's newfound bachelor pad, which sort of a room. a room with a toilet.
Yeah. Good vibes there, though. There's a lot of good content.
Lots of me hanging at the door smoking.
Yeah. Jesus Smokes Weed was born out of that bitch.
Yeah, Jesus Smokes Weed. Yeah. And I also think, was that Jacob Pepper?
I would have thought that was on your back deck, actually.
I think that was possibly. Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of, I remember a lot of things happening in that batch pad that went to air that I just burst out laughing.
We did have some good times there, they probably went quicker as well because we used to stand up to record it, so that probably helped. Once we all started to get to sit down, that's when these bloody podcasts expanded out in time.
We announced Jamie was pregnant at that particular venue as well. That's when she started saying, fuck this shit, I'm out.
I gotta say, first Nick Jamie was pregnant, my first Raw game with you guys. She got a bit up. We got up, we scored, and we all went up. Poor Jamie, it just like hit her like a blood rush to the head. Poor thing was struggling. I'm standing next to this woman I've only just met. What's going on? I didn't know she was pregnant. I don't think you'd really announce it then. Poor thing.
Yeah.
I
found out about it probably about 20 minutes beforehand. So it was pretty, on that day we did the show, so it was a pretty full on day.
And that's when we brought in the Yeshiva as the guest tipper as well. That's when the tipping started.
When we started the tipping, we had the guest tipper. We didn't have a name for him, just the mystery tipper.
Thanks, A-League, for your stupid advertising gimmick. I'm sure Yoshi is almost nearly graduating high school right now.
I had not thought about why you were called Yeshiva for so long. Yoshi and Tim Cahill. What a fucking
But
Tim Cahill's hocking for the fucking Qataris.
So next thing you know, the Yoshi will show up. He's 18. He's in Qatar selling tickets, doing drugs, all that sort of stuff.
All good stuff.
Selling alley tickets or doing drugs, which would you prefer for your child to do?
that season was something else, because Cahill, we brought him back that year, and then City changed the coach, and the new coach just didn't want him, and he kept benching him. Like, the whole A-League had Cahill literally got spent
sent off
money.
Off the bench.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the Central Coast Mariners, like, flag punching, like, the kid pulled the flag.
Yeah, that's it.
That ball kid, he deserves a fucking medal. I think we said so at the time. And I also remember, like, there's very few non-raw things that we covered on the pod, but the absolute god of pods was our just general just reaction to the Central Coast versus Perth New Year's game. I think we did half an hour on it because it was just so incredible.
Just so incredibly good. And that is PK League, really. Like, it's that's the best.
Absolutely. And the, you know, the Aloisi brothers fighting in Adelaide and
that's so funny.
Just another, we did do a couple of things off, kind of away from our home. Well, we did some segments in Rotorua. You and I went to New Zealand. We were over there for a Wellington game, so we did some stuff over there.
We were going up the top of the hill.
Before we went down.
The loose track.
Fond memories there. Yeah.
Still very fond memories. Yeah. And then a certain Ash Wynn proposed to his now wife.
I'm not married yet. Just a reminder, Ash, you still haven't, actually got married yet.
Yeah, he's had two kids since then. Come on, man.
No reminder, you're reminding him.
I think they're taking money out of the marriage account, the actual wedding account.
It's now just the normal account.
There is no wedding account left once you've had two kids, until those bad boys get to primary school.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then obviously we interviewed a couple of players. We interviewed... I was skipping ahead of the thing here, but we interviewed David Porro a couple of times as the CEO of Brisbane. We did get an interview with Jack Hingett as well, as the only player we ever interviewed, is fitting because he's the only player that's lasted 10 seasons as well.
And we should say as well on our last show, thanks, Dave, for being a part of it.
Yep.
Mm.
And
I thought you were talking to me.
thanks for supporting independent football media in general, because he's also been a regular guest on Football Review. Thanks for just engaging with independent media in general, because we've gotten some information over the years that we've got in advance of the public. There's certain
which we didn't deserve probably, but anyway.
but at the same time, hasn't really pulled back. If we were critical, anything like that, it was always a very good relationship we had with Dave. I really hope that his health is improving. And
absolutely.
Because one thing I think that would certainly bring us back for one final show would be a chance to interview Dave one last time. I would do that personally.
All right, good. You can do that.
I do echo the sentiments. I hope Dave gets well soon. Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. He saw that. I think the writing on the wall that the News Limited, feeding info to Marco wouldn't be a sustainable thing for long, for the future. So he did sort of get involved and reach out, and it's a good thing to do. So and the Brisbane Football Review guys have obviously become pretty staple in that around the whole football scene.
They've done a better job. That's
fine.
because they're actually professionals, they got media passes and stuff, and did the whole thing. And there's certain the last couple of seasons, it was only Adam from Football Review actually asking any questions worth answering in post match interviews and stuff. So it's good that independent football media has grown up, because the mainstream have failed.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, especially when AAP was on its legs and stuff, it was like literally them and maybe the football SAC graduate or someone, they do their internship stuff.
That's it.
Especially for covering like the women's game and stuff like that.
You had Mike Tuckerman, you had whoever SBS sent, and you had
Adam.
And then before he moved to Sydney, we had Vince as well. That was it for a while.
So. I should note, there was, in between all of the stuff we're about to touch on, there was a low light in the broadcast history, and it came in the form of Adam trying to do the show on his own, when we all kind of said, nah, we're done, and then had to revive it again, because Adam was going to go and do it all on his own, and that first episode came out, and it was Adam just talking to himself for about 30 minutes, and Adam never did that again. I remember messaging him saying, Adam, I'm coming back on the pod. That's not happening again.
Oh, no.
I thought that was before his bachelor pad.
Wasn't that? Was that the bachelor pad?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't long before the next part, because I remember saying where I was staying before I moved into my current place, yeah. And then we moved into the current place where we went. So the Big Brown Dick,
yeah, the big,
Ben's kitchen,
Big Brown Dick, yeah,
Royce's living room,
yeah,
and dropped in a whole lot more since like we're trying to do now.
That's where the accents.
Yeah, the accents got going before that.
Yeah,
to be fair.
I would say they were around it. Adams, but certainly doing the South African accent.
Definitely.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, the Ben Bang Mark Arsen. Yes.
Apparently, I still can't do my Scottish Jamaican accent too well, can I?
No, I'm not.
No, man. Don't talk.
Yeah, I remember a Saint Bolt played for the Mariners.
Scored more goals than Daniel Sturridge.
Played
4 minutes.
You know, that was, of course, that was a place where I did lose a show. I didn't have a laptop charger plugged into the laptop, and it went flat and shut down, and it lost the whole show.
We just kept talking.
No, I knew, like, uh-oh.
Best episode
ever. No, I think that we just finished.
We just finished the show.
And, like, I just hadn't managed to, like, hit, we were recording in Audacity. I might have even hit stop. I hadn't just hit save or something like that. And it just...
Yeah, boom. We did the whole show, then it shut down. And we all realised what had happened.
Yeah.
And then we did the shortcast. And it was one of the best performing shows we've ever had.
It was new and interesting.
Yeah.
People requested it.
It was a different time.
And we never did it again.
I think we did like a couple more.
Yeah, we did like once more. As a little joke, but it didn't go as well the second time. But yeah.
Oh, this was about the time we also had Slammerville too. A major sponsor.
We had a sponsor.
Yeah.
Oh, Slammerville.
I wonder how their North Korean factory's going these days.
I heard they've had a COVID shutdown.
Yeah. The reason why I've had my health troubles, I'm trying to get off the shit. They actually moved their factory to eastern Ukraine. I wonder how it's going.
They've always been known to make great decisions. Yeah.
I heard they had to rebrand. They've now got a logo that looks very similar to the A League logo. but now they serve burgers in Russia. I don't understand.
You know, they always saw a market opportunity, didn't they?
Yeah. They saw greatness when they saw it. They said, you know what? We've got a connection via that broadcast show we used to sponsor.
It would take Don Segers 5-10 minutes sitting there to work out those Zymophil ads.
What do you mean? We were given those to read out by the Zymophil company.
Along with the paychecks.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about the paychecks. It's
written on the back of the check.
The ATO's listening to this.
We spent all that paychecks on
all the money went to Chad Friend.
45 million Zimbabwe dollars doesn't go very far.
That was the problem. We didn't look at one currency. The deal was it.
We tried to wash that money through the TAB without betting, but it didn't work.
We lost it all.
Yeah.
If the ATO is listening, chase
that. He invested in iceberg lettuce and now he's on the run.
It was avocados and now iceberg lettuce.
Took a while, but that investment's finally paying off.
Yeah. So what else have we... And then we sort of, you know, eventually... that was when we started to get Rick on, I think, a bit, and Dan as well. So I think you made some trips out to the Big Back Week.
Yeah. Yeah, tried to not laugh through the entire podcast, despite the fact that Dimmy was licking my legs the whole time.
Yeah, there's nothing like having that little face up in your crutch.
For the listeners... That's my dog.
Yeah, it wasn't Dimmy Petranos. Dimmy Petranos was not underneath the table licking Rick.
Wow, are we retiring this podcast or are we getting banned?
Dimmy and Matthew, they would always want to be involved. I think that's
always want to, especially Dimmy. She loved being involved.
Yeah, did love a little snout getting up in there, and that's. And then probably, I guess, the latest sort of stages is we moved to, obviously, remote recording.
Fuck you, Craig.
That fucking Craig cunt. He kept getting involved in all of our shows.
We should not have fired him. Jesus Christ.
He's the worst intern.
What did we start? We started with that Anchor platform one, and that wasn't great either.
No, we tried a few different things, but...
I mean, it generally has worked. So if you don't know, this is recorded through Discord and use a bot called Craig.
Craig is a cunt. Yeah. There's been many recordings where I've called him a cunt. And he is a cunt, and fuck that Craig guy's cunt.
He just doesn't listen to feedback. He always sounds so cheery.
We keep telling him to join, and we keep telling him to leave, and he doesn't fucking do it when we want him to.
Now I'm recording.
The best part is when he just doesn't record for like a minute of audio. You know, he just like,
Just says, you know what, I need a rest, guys.
Yeah, I need a rest.
Spoko.
Yeah, he just drops out. look, for a free service, we can't complain. Yeah. But anyway, that's Craig.
Yeah, we had an offshoot show.
Yeah, an offshoot last year.
Broadcast Fan Files. We interviewed about 9 people or so, did their story on.
Yeah,
which is cool, something different, and didn't go very far, but that's alright. It was fun to do.
I kind of wish
didn't do that on Discord though. I'm not that stupid.
If the state of the club was a bit better and this was continuing, you know, that's just something I'd love to have done more of.
Yeah, for sure.
As the history of people supporting the club gets longer, that was always pretty fascinating.
Yeah, unfortunately, because the club's going downhill fast, the history of the people supporting the club is getting smaller. There's less people to support the club.
Couldn't really,
but never mind.
Yeah, we'd just be stuck with a bunch of people. Well, I just started to turn up because they were nearby because I lived in Northlakes and I started playing in Redcliffe.
It's a provincial club in Redcliffe. I just thought I'd go over it now. Yeah.
So in terms of like remote recording, that's been pretty challenging, right? Like, I think when I first started contributing, and it was kind of like every week you'd plan the weekend and you'd say, all right, well, we do this on Tuesdays or whatever it was, and you sort of, that was your schedule.
Yeah.
You made time and whoever, you know, you'd miss some or whatever, but mostly it'd be part of your life. And I think with the COVID shaking up the league, multiple games a week, not being able to go in person, it really like shook up the schedule. And
it became a case you're not doing one game a week, you're doing two or three because that's how many games got played in between. And then you're not doing it for a few weeks because there's no game, and then maybe there's a couple of games later, so you just wait till they're finished. It was hard
to watch like 4 to 6 hours of football in 3 or 4 days and then do a pod, which is another 2 hours. And all of a sudden you're like, I just don't have that much time in that shorter space of time to do it. Yeah, you need the energy as well. And I don't know what you guys are like, but I'm old and I don't have much energy these days.
Oh, boo fucking who? I'm old. Jesus fucking.
You know, it also became more challenging just to watch games, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, particularly this season with Paramount not being able to rewind, you know, if you came in late, you know, you'd have to wait 8 fucking hours or something for it to upload. Like, you know, previously it was quite easy. You know, you'd have, you know, you'd either have the football, the Australian football app, you know, and just be able to, you know, rewind, start from the start, you know. You had Foxtel, you had whatever.
Mm.
And, yeah, this season particularly has just been a shit fight with that, you know. there's times where we just, you know, haven't been able to watch anything except maybe a 3-minute highlight package on YouTube or something.
It's amazing how much you can do about a podcast or a 3-minute highlights video, though. Yeah, very well.
We have mastered it.
Yeah, we have mastered that experience.
We are the best at not watching things and talking about it.
Yeah.
Particularly me.
Yeah.
Well, you are the best. You are the beacon of hope that we have.
Yeah.
That's right. Because the schedule was moving about and just, that's what sort of became hard. And it was sort of like, and yeah, you all of a sudden would turn around and it's like, oh, do we have enough to? Oh, no. And then someone's busy, and yeah, you just didn't have that solidity of schedule, as you're saying. Like, you know, we used to drive for 45, you know, for half an hour, 45 minutes to get out to record at Dave's place and to put it all together for you. And and then, you know, drive back, and then all of a sudden it became too hard to move from the lounge room to the to the spare room to record a show.
It's just getting out of the habit,
and just
I think.
Losing some of that, I think we lost some of that, like the bounceability of like jokes and stuff like that you have in person.
Yeah.
Also, it doesn't help as well. We've had literally so many pods this season where it's been, all right, we've got 4 games to get through, and that's just the men.
Yeah, that's it.
That's exactly right. So
I mean, partway through that, we made a big decision, I think, to really start covering the women's team a lot harder, a lot more thoroughly. I mean, mainly because when the men's team started to suck, the women's team's still good.
and I think it's also just because, you know, all of us collectively, you know, big supporters of the women's game in general, and
they deserve
equal time. Like, you know, I mean, we couldn't provide equal time.
I mean, we made the point at some stages where we're like, okay, which team has the better, you know, points returned so far?
That's
the dub side. Well, we'll lead with them.
Yeah.
And that was a conscious decision because we wanted to support the team that was doing representing the best.
And it's also like very much a, you know, it's, you know, I think I'm happy that we sort of, you know, covered them and elevated them because, you know, there's certain, you know, we certainly felt like there was a, you know, lack of depth in the coverage at that time when we started doing it anyway. Like, certainly, you know, leading up to the World Cup now, the women's football coverage has never been better. You know, you've got the women's game, you've got, like, you know, Sam Lewis, who writes for
ESPN,
for ABC now. And, but, like, you know, you've got incredible football writers writing just about women's football now. That did not happen when we first started talking about, you know,
so you're saying watch all the games sometimes, like there were literally away games and
literally
like,
Literally,
maybe if we're lucky, we've got a highlights package.
Yeah, but literally, the women's football media, when we first started, was Anna Dong, and that was it.
Yeah.
And now it is a fully fledged operation of its own, and I really, obviously we would love to have had more women involved in the podcast. Obviously, we have had Jane, we've had
other.
We've had women on the show, but like, you know, that would be one thing that, you know, I would have loved to have a female voice, a constant voice on the show, but
yeah,
it is what it is, you know.
We did ask some, but yeah,
it's not for want of trying.
Mm. So yeah, I think that's sort of, and that probably finishes up on sort of a nice.
Don't talk about that show that was, you know,
redacted.
Yeah. I might say, but just on that as one last thing, you know, I will say that the fan base has been diluted in quality by the fact that the team has done so poorly and the Backroos have behaved the way they have and we've moved to Redcliffe and all of that. I certainly think that, you know, me as someone that's not only leaving the podcast but leaving the team, you know, I leave behind a fan base for the Roar that is, you know, significantly poorer than when we first started, which was day one. You know, it is both in quality and quantity, it's not the same. And it's not some, like, going to games became a chore, and, you know, won't miss it, unfortunately.
What a way to end the pod.
That's pretty much, yeah. That's what I was saying. I started. Yeah, became quite a chore to start to be like, oh, do we have to? That's not a good place to be in. You know, it's meant to be a fun pursuit, right? You know.
Yeah, but on a more positive, upbeat note, I suppose, just to round things off, doing this podcast though gave me something, I suppose, an outlet to be able to speak to other people about the game, my thoughts, and get other thoughts and whatnot. And that was always, even if there was no one listening. There are some people listening, you know, but even if there was no one listening, at least it was good to be able to sit down, talk football for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it ended up being, and just, I suppose, enjoy the team that we're supporting as well. So thank you to everyone, you guys, everyone's been on the pod.
Everyone's been a guest. A Dan Hogan length episode.
I was going to say that, actually, you've read my mind. Yeah. We invented a unit of measurement. It was fantastic.
This would be about a Dan Hogan length episode.
Yes, he pretty much get to work and back, actually.
Dan went through about four or five cars during the Roar Cars. Yeah, he just got crashed on, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Someone crashed a car to them driving,
wasn't it? And thank you to anyone that's ever contributed, responded, voted on a poll, any of that sort of stuff, engage in any way, shape, or form, even listen to one episode or watch the YouTube episode, whatever the case. The dude that bought me a beer because he recognised my face on the broadcast video pods way back in the day. I thought, I'm going to buy you a beer. It's like, fucking get in. This is my ticket to money.
Yeah, you have profited from this podcast.
One beer. Lost more money than I'm getting. Anyone that's ever engaged with the show, thank you for, giving us a go. And
listening to us talk shit. Because that's what we've become specialists in, is talking shit. You know,
with a sprinkling of talk about football. Yeah,
but, you know, we that's what we do, is we talk shit.
So you can listen. So you don't have to.
You know, because we talk on the pod like we would at the pub. And we've been saying the same shit amongst each other as you have, more than likely. And that's probably why you're still listening. So, you know, thank you to all of you, and we'll still be at the pub, just probably not watching the Roar.
Just remember, we spend enough time talking so you can listen to us for a whole game's length episode.
And if you're one of those people that listens to podcasts on like 1.5 or 2 times speed, fuck you.
Agreed.
Also, fuck you.
No.
Fuck you.
Also, fuck Sydney.
Yeah, fuck Sydney.
Absolutely, fuck Sydney. Fuck Sydney weeks are always good fun.
We won the last fuck Sydney week, so fuck it. Yeah,
we did. We did absolutely win the last fuck Sydney week.
The other thing we'll mention is we'll probably keep the Twitter active.
Yeah, do you want to tell everyone about the socials, Pricey?
Yeah, the socials. I think anyone that ever rated and reviewed us on iTunes as well, or Apple.
Yeah,
Ben used to check up on them.
And if you read and review the special risk, we won't read it out on the show.
Yes, So yes, that does us. Yes, yeah. The Twitter, we might just keep throwing things up on there occasionally as we see fit. But yeah, I think most of our other social medias will disappear. And obviously, yeah, these have all been uploaded on Anchor and stuff like that. So you can find at least however long we've been on Anchor, the whole back catalogue pretty much should be there for as long as we're on that. The YouTube days are definitely there. The rest of it's well somewhere.
Might be there. Might not.
Yeah.
I think SoundCloud days were.
Yeah, because SoundCloud we used to have to like pay for how much hours we added up, which you know, which is why we only have had a couple of hours. Like, we'd only ever be a few shows because yeah.
Oh yeah, there should be a decent back catalogue in most places, and
yeah.
Go search the cloud.
I'm sure it's a cache somewhere on those big wide internet, surely.
Yeah.
Wayback Machine or something.
Sure, someone's monitoring us in some Asia.
Yeah, exactly. So shout out to FBI and Asia monitors that have listened into us over the years.
Love your work, guys.
Love your work, guys. Yeah. To the big brain in China that listened in. Yeah.
And thanks to all those Indonesian authorities that have been listening out for any sort of battery notes.
Yeah, and the Apple robot that searches our podcast for the word fucking cunt so that we get the explicit rating every podcast.
We turned that on, mate. Thank you for the Rawcast pod that was from that school
in the US. How many hits did we get from that?
I just so hope that someone searched that up, like following the thing, and then found us instead of them. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is not the principal of my primary school.
Especially
my
kids go to podcast.
I don't
find our explicit rated.
I just don't know. I still don't know when Mrs. Smith's second period class is going to be held.
I know.
I just don't know.
Let's
one for the next episode.
All right. So yes, let's wrap it up from there. Mr. Yeshiva, Mr. Mystery Tipper, thank you very much.
Thank you, gents. Thank you, people.
Mr. Danny Butts, thank you for hosting us today, and thank you for your inputs.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for having me on the show.
Mr. Rick Evans, thank you for your inputs and your supporting and everything during the years and being, well, you watched a lot more W-Link than us, at least in the beginning, so you've been more across that, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks, everyone, for watching. Thanks, everyone, for organising.
Mr. Ben Clarkhausen. Thank you, good sir.
Thank you kindly, and it's been a pleasure, gents. And yeah, thank you for, you know, almost 10 years of just talking shit.
And Mr. Davey Stewart, thank you, good sir. Thank you for all the run sheets you've made. And Dave generally did all that, the Twitter accounts for the like the game notes and stuff like that. So he became a bit of a master at it.
Executive producer.
Just no legal responsibility.
No. That's all Chad friend.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Pricey, as well, for hosting as well. I know I did host every now and again, but I was never as good as you. You did a masterful job, sir. And always put in a lot of work yourself as well, especially the editing and the posting and the making us sound like we actually know what we're talking about. So thank you, Pricey.
Even if, you know,
and Dan for the editing too. You did a few as well.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly.
All the ones that were terrible editing, there was actually a difference.
Thanks, Pricey, for making us actually sound professional, which I don't think I ever managed to do.
Yeah, at least that was the one good thing about the remote record. At least we became different streams and could equalise the volumes better. That was about the only
thing. Yeah, you're better at that, mate.
Back to normal.
Yeah, this big echoing mess. It's one mic recording all of this today. So if the audio's been a bit whatever.
Tough
it's
shit.
A free podcast.
It's our last pod. Fuck
exactly.
You.
Yeah
we'll totally improve in the future. We'll double our efforts.
All right, listeners. This is us signing out for one last time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Love.